Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Howdy, this is Jim Brackmeyer of baseball broadcast fame, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, from one legend to another, how's about we crack open a couple of pops and call a game together sometime?
Sounds good. Let's hope there's a game. Good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a beautiful Monday, February 28th, 2022. Michael K. and Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours, the other 20. That is your responsibility. Don LaGreca is resting at home. Doctor's appointment tomorrow, so we'll know better when he will return at some point after that, hopefully tomorrow or Wednesday. But, you know, as we told him, Peter, he has to take as much time as he absolutely needs. But he was just on our pre-show call, and looks like he's feeling a little bit better, but still tired. When he does normal activities, he still gets a little tired, and that's what comes with pneumonia. So he's battling through that. He has tested negative, so that's a good thing as well. Now he has to just see his doctor, and we'll see what's going on. So we
and I sleep right till noon.
I was I'm impressed by Don not being here today.
Because you thought the animal would force his way in, right?
Correct. He's doing the right thing. He said he was hopeful for tomorrow potentially or the next day, but I think it's really good for our long term Don that he take today.
Absolutely, because when he comes back, you want him to be able to go into a rant if need be, if that's what he feels like doing.
Correct.
You want to see him wiped out by a rant.
Fix that.
Yeah.
Right. Imagine.
All right. So
Ed Crane Bull.
Yeah, I don't think he has the strength for that right now. But we have approximately 2 hours to go. The deadline is 5 o'clock today. They are meeting in Jupiter. It does not seem promising from all the reports that are out there. And if we don't have an agreement by 5 o'clock today, I guess they could push it into the night. I mean, who are we kidding? There's so much riding on that deadline. Then they're going to start canceling games because there's just no way you can make it work in under 4 hours. And there was a report earlier today that the owners have gotten tougher today in the negotiations, whereby they've told the players, we are willing to cancel games in April if you don't come around. So that's where we are right now. And, you know, there's a lot of conjecture out there that the owners don't make a lot of money in their April games. It's the most sparsely attended games out there because of the weather. And there's cancellations and things like that. So if they get rid of April, that would also, let's see, I think I wrote this down. It's $20 million a day in salaries that they would save. So there's 30 days, has September, April, June, and November. So there's 30 days in April. So that's, $600 million?
Okay. That's it?
That they would save in salary. And they've probably done the math. And they figured out what we'll lose and what we won't have to pay. We'll end up making more money if we start the season in May. Now, again, I haven't heard an owner say that. Those are the things that are being reported, and it's distressing. And you know, I felt it for the first time on Saturday, Peter, because Saturday was going to be the first broadcast on YES. I was going to be down in Tampa. We were going to do that game.
Right.
And it was not there. And obviously a lot of spring training games are going to be canceled because even if they settle today, you know, you're not going to be able to play games for another – week and a half or so, and that would be pushing it as well. So this is at a critical juncture right now. The thing that I would tell both sides, it's such a bad optic. We use that word a lot, Peter. You know, the world is on fire. I mean, for real life things.
Yeah.
And we're not able to split a $10 billion industry equitably. It doesn't make sense. It's so tone deaf. And people are going to get angry. They really will. But I am sure that if the owners cancel the game in April, they have done their due diligence. And they have figured out that they could survive. That the fans would come back. Fans came back after they canceled the World Series. So you don't think they're going to come back if they cancel a month at the beginning of the season when most people don't go to games? It's hard to figure out. I'm not going to get into the minutia of what they want, what they don't want, but I will tell you this. From the very beginning, the owners seem somewhat intractable on their positions.
Okay.
This is what we want. And if we're not going to get it, then we're not going to settle. They've increased the tax thresholds for the competitive balance tax. They've raised the numbers. And we mentioned this on Friday, Peter, and I got some pushback from somebody on Twitter. But a lot of the owners, a lot of the small market owners, like the Pirates and maybe Kansas City and Miami and Tampa Bay, they're looking at this as a Steve Cohen tax. Because what the Met owner did, which he had every right to do and should have done, because his one strength right now is his wallet, is he spent an incredible amount of money before the lockout occurred in order to better his team, including a $43 million a year contract to a 38-year-old pitcher, Max Scherzer. Right. And I think that spooked the small market teams to the point where, you know, we can't have one guy, because if one guy does this, well, maybe the other owners are going to follow too, the other big market owners. Maybe the Yankees right across the river would say, well, we can't let the Mets run away and hide with the best players. We've got to jack up our payroll too, and the Red Sox and the Dodgers might think the same thing. So I think that the specter of Cohen has spooked the smaller market owners. I don't think it spooks the Yankees. It doesn't spook the Dodgers or the Red Sox, but it spooks the owners who have payrolls $50, $60, $70 million. And some of these teams are so spooked that Derek Jeter today resigned his post as the chief executive officer of the Miami Marlins and also divested himself of his investment in the team. And Joel Sherman of the New York Post tweeted out right before the show that, you know, because of this lockout, $15 to $20 million that he was told that he was going to be able to spend to improve the team has been taken away. And I also believe, and this hasn't been reported, Peter, Derek Jeter was a player for 20 years. I think he sees what's going on, and I don't think he wants to stink on him. It's not worth it. He's got generational money. He doesn't need this. I don't think he wants to be the bad guy to the players. He's the one owner that used to be a player.
Right.
So does he want to be part of this? And, you know, he knows all the internecine information that we don't know and what the owners have planned and whether or not they have always wanted to, you know, shut down April. He doesn't want to be that guy that's going to be staying that way that used to be a player.
Well, yeah, and he could be thinking he knows that this is just one part of his life. It's not what he's going to want to do forever. It's not the driving force of his life. So it's not worth it. It's not a worthwhile trade-off to change being thought of the way he's been thought of.
Yeah, and, you know, he's beloved by players. Maybe he's, you know, he's not even the main owner of the Marlins. So he's probably thinking, for my 5% of the team, do I really need to soil my reputation by being part of this lockout, which is now in its, I believe it's 89th day. And you know what's unusual, and I'm looking into it if I could find out. I was of the impression that when he bought into this, Peter, that I think he put $5 million of his own money in, and that the agreement was that if he lasted 5 years, they would pay him out on that $5 million for $25 million. So he would have quintupled his money, and he was also getting $5 million a year as a salary as the CEO. But the strange thing is he resigned today, and he resigned through a PR agency, the statement that was let out. It wasn't through the Marlins, and it's 4.5 years. Did he give up that money on principle, or did the guy who owns the Marlins say, listen, I'll give you the $25 million, just get lost. Who knows? But it's a bad look for baseball that Derek Jeter doesn't want to be involved. Not a great look. So everything that's going on right now, it's business. And, you know, you get the impression when you see the way the world works, billionaires don't want to be told by employees what the rules should be.
Nope.
But in this case, what's different than any other business, you know, like if Jeff Bezos doesn't want to give his employees what they want, well, he'll just get new employees.
Correct.
Because the product is not those employees.
Right.
But in this case,
that is the product.
The employees are the product.
Right.
So if you got rid of the 700 players in the major leagues and brought the next 700 best people in, the product's not going to be as good.
No.
So what a mess. I think you could tell by the tone of my voice. I'm just at the end. I don't know. I don't know what the solution's going to be. I don't know. Is there going to be this 11th hour white knight that rides in on his horse and says, let's get this done?
What does your hunch say about that?
My hunch is that won't happen.
There will not be an 11th hour.
No, I don't think it will happen. And I think that the players at this point seem somewhat united. Not somewhat. They are totally united. But when they start missing paychecks, how will that united stand? And I think that that's what the owners might be gambling, that at some point the players are just going to give in. Now, if the players end up giving in after April, well, why not give in now? And why lose the $20 million a day? But I don't think the players think they're going to give in. But there will be a subset of players that are losing so much money. And some players live to such an extent that losing weekly pay or biweekly paychecks will impact how they live their life. Because I just remember the 1995 work stoppage. And that was before social media, Peter. And there was a trickling of players as baseball was being played by replacement players that wanted to come back. That just wanted to get, you know, they wanted to play. And they were held back by the union. But the thing that saved the union at that point was Judge Sotomayor, who is now one of the Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
And she ordered that the lockout be ended. That's the thing that saved the trickling back of players. So if players were going to do that in 95 when they didn't make as much money as they do now, will they do that now? Now, the thing that's heartening, and I give credit to guys like Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole, because for every day they miss, Peter, they're going to lose. I think in the case of Scherzer, it's $230,000 a day. And for Cole, it's $190,000 a day. Now, Cole has a 9-year contract, which will take him to about, I guess, 38. And Scherzer has a 3-year contract, and he is 38. So they truly are fighting for others, not for themselves. They've got their money. And the fact that they'd be willing to give up that much money, I think that does quiet down that subset of players that don't make near what they make. So they can't be crying that we want to come back when Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer are losing so much money that they'll never get back. Max Scherzer, again, is 38 years old. He'll never get this money back. This contract he signed with the Mets, that's it. That's the last contract he'll ever sign. And he's willing to strike, or not strike, but not settle to end the lockout, and he's going to lose a lot of money. So, I don't know. You're more the outside looking in, Peter. What's your take on this?
You mean in terms of overall how bad I think this could be for baseball?
Yeah.
You know, I think I tend to land more with you that while it stinks and it's a downer and it will turn some people off, you know, you have a certain amount of the population that's not that dialed in on it one way or the other. And they may go, oh, really? I can't go to a game in April? All right, well, I'll go in June. That's fine. And then you have the hardcores who are actually disappointed, but are they going to leave the game for good because of it?
No, I don't think so. And I think the owners have done their research where they don't think that they will leave. Because the doomsayers was going to cripple the game. Yeah, it's going to hurt it. It's going to hurt it for a while, but it came back from, Peter, canceling a World Series. Now, you could say, well, there's not going to be a Cal Ripken, and there's not going to be a Sosa and McGuire, but there'll be something else that'll capture their attention. And the players are so good. There's such great players in baseball. I mean, the talent is at an all-time level that they're going to take pride in what they do for a living. It's not like they're going to bag their performance just to get back at the owner. So they're going to get back and hit the ground running, and the game's going to be great. And I hope it, I mean, maybe I'm hoping against hope because I'm involved that the game doesn't get hurt, but I don't see where it can't, it's going to be nicked. I'll tell you that I mean, there are going to be people. I say, well, I'll never come back. Well, then that's cutting off your nose to spite your face. So you're going to watch high school baseball or college baseball,
right,
or minor league baseball. So the baseball at the highest level comes back and you're just going to prove a point and say, I'm never going to come back. I think that's what the owners are going to bank on.
And I think, to your point, I think they will probably be right. It doesn't add up to people never enjoying the game again, but it does stink. But also, I do think people are reasonable in the sense that we talk about how the fans will be like, hey, do you see what the world is like right now? How dare you fight over pennies when there's so many horrible things happening and you guys are all rich? But I also think that's not giving fans credit that there are smart fans who also have nuance and are like, hey, I do find this annoying and I do find this ridiculous and I think they should figure it out. But I do understand why players want to fight for things that they think are important.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't blame the players. I mean, people are going to paint the seismic change that I've seen since I've been in the game, Peter, is that in past labor kerfuffles, right? Mm-hmm. All the fans took I'd say 90% of the fans took the side of the owners. 90%. I don't see that now. I think more people are sympathetic to the players than the owners because I think that over the last 5 years, maybe in the world, 10 years, I think billionaires are looked at differently by the general public, where people don't look at it as aspirational. They look at it and go, wow, why do these people conduct themselves like this? I'm not saying these 30 particular billionaires, but I think the ultra wealthy are looked at differently in this country than they used to be.
Yep.
So that being said, although most fans believe that, wow, if things had gone right, I could have played, they do know that the players are one of them and that they could have been a player. Not that they had the talent to, but life circumstances, if they had been born with that talent, they could have been a player. But most of us don't think we could be billionaires.
I think you're right about that. Yes. I think that's there are people out there who don't seem to be that way. They project because they don't feel a lot of control in their own professional life.
Right.
So they get angry at the players. Like, how dare you talk back to the bosses because some of us are not in a position where we could take a stand the way they can. But I think, Michael, you're right. More often, it's not that way. And people do identify with the player.
Yeah. And I thought there was a great line by Andy McCullough, who wrote a long column. Most of the media is, 1,000% against the owners. Jeff Passan wrote a scathing column at ESPN.com, which is open to everybody. It's not just ESPN Plus. It's open to everybody. I mean, really just tore apart the owners and put it all at their feet. But Andy McCullough said, the beauty of being a billionaire is that you don't check your mentions. They don't care what people think about them. So everybody's going to say, well, I mean, how awful is it that they can't come to an agreement? Why don't the owners bend a little bit and make an agreement, especially with the world and the situation that it's in, hopefully coming out of a pandemic, hopefully not going into a World War III. But when you're a billionaire, I guess you don't care what people think.
Well, you say that, Michael, but evidence suggests that most people, even sitting in their ivory tower, do care on some level. You know?
I wonder. You think Jeff Bezos cares what people think?
I mean,
he just built like the biggest yacht in the world. I mean, that's not a great look, right?
When the world is
struggling through COVID, so he doesn't care what people think.
I mean, listen, I went to the Hasan Minhaj show last night at Radio City, and he does an entire bit about how Saudi Arabia shut down his episode of the Patriot Act. So I say that to say that there are sometimes incredibly rich and powerful people who still want every negative word about them to be shut down.
Well, I don't think that they care what's negative about. They don't want the masses to hear it or see it. So if they shut it down in Saudi Arabia, they don't want people in Saudi Arabia to see what other people think of their leaders.
Well, I mean,
that's why there are Russian bots right now.
Exactly. But on a much smaller level, you could have a billionaire owner who may seem like they have control over everything, but don't really want their fan base being fully exposed to every negative thing about them, and could be more protective of their reputation. So I just don't know that I think all of them don't care simply because they're rich and powerful. One of the main things that social media does is it sort of forces people to care about the little person's voice.
Do you believe that the hedge fund people that run the Dodgers are checking their mentions on social media? Do you believe that John Henry, who owns the Boston Red Sox, is checking his mentions on social? I don't think they are.
I mean, listen,
they're not like us.
I don't think you can make a sweeping generalization. I think maybe for the most part they don't, but I would not completely rule it out.
All right. So that's where we are right now. Right now, we're planning to have Jeff Passan on at 5. That is subject to change, though, with breaking news. It's his responsibility to break the news, obviously, and write the story rather than just be on the air. And right then is kind of the deadline that people are looking at. I don't understand why 5 o'clock would be the deadline because, I mean, if they're close, they're not going to push it to 6 or 7 or 8. So I think that today is a quote-unquote hard deadline, but it's not because of this huge progress being made. What, they won't push it to tomorrow?
Right.
So we'll cover it. Jesse Rogers is there. Passan's all over it. Only's all over it. This is the place to be. We'll get you the news as quickly as they find out. But at this point, it doesn't look promising. Let's put it that way. That we will have baseball, at least with the Yankees, March 31st in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. But we'll see. Let's hope for the best and expect the worst. That's probably the best way to look at it. Now, Peter, you're very unusual this weekend where we're not going to get into the specifics.
What?
But at one point, I think it was yesterday, you sent me a text that was very deep. Where did that come from? Like delving into my soul.
I don't know if it was that deep.
Oh, it was deep. It gave me pause to think about it.
It did?
Oh, yeah. I said, wow, that's heavy.
It was an introspective question, wasn't it?
That's right, man.
Did somebody spur you on to ask that, or did it just come into your cranium?
No, it just popped into my head. I was thinking about baseball, actually.
It was a baseball question. Let's put it that way.
And I was thinking about baseball, and I said, I wonder what Michael thinks about this.
I love baseball.
That was
I went to the Knick game yesterday with the fam.
So you have been out and
bing bong. Oh yeah, bing bong is right. I'll tell you this. So I haven't been to the Garden in a long time. There's a lot of construction around the Garden, Peter.
Yeah, I know.
You can't park anywhere.
No.
It's unbelievable. It's a massive traffic jam because obviously the new city that's being built west of the Garden clogs everything up. There's so much construction. There's so few parking lots. How do people do it? And I dropped the family off finally while I was like looking for a lot to park in because I didn't want to go into one of those lots that it takes 3 hours to get out of. And then I finally found one on 29th and 7th. But wow, it was brutal.
Dude, Natalie lives in that general area.
Oh, my goodness. How does she do it?
Well, she doesn't have a car. But when she has mine, it's a super pain.
It's amazing what the city has become. It's so congested. And then further congesting the city that they've decided to build restaurants in the street.
They got it. Well, those got to go.
They have to go. Well, I mean, really, they've built enclosed structures in the street where, okay, the COVID won't go in here. It's just ridiculous.
No, it's got to be. Those have to go. The Upper West Side, people are really up in arms about them.
I mean, if you're lifting all the restrictions, then those things have to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right? Hey, listen, it's great. You know we have it as an option if they ever need to build them again. But I agree. You can't lose half the parking in the city just so the restaurants have even more places for people to sit. It went from helping the restaurants to now the restaurants are, of course, being greedy and just trying to get everything they can.
Right. And I never understood it other than if it was a completely open-air situation. But these are enclosed structures where I think COVID could probably still thrive.
I think so.
1-800-919-3776 might be a change in the rules. Well, there is a change in the rules. in the city with vaccination status, but it doesn't look like it's changing for Kyrie Irving, which is patently unfair. We'll get into that as well. The Knicks start a really tough road trip. They just can't win. They're 3-15 in the last 18.
Holy crap.
It doesn't look good, but RJ Barrett does. It's going to be a great show. Promise you that. We'll be on till 7 right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Dean Fagan sent me this tweet. He said, are we supposed to feel sorry for Max Scherzer because he is losing $230,000 a day? When MLB comes back, and they will, he will be making $230,000 a day. A lot of people don't make that in 5 years. I'm not telling you to feel sorry for him, Dean. I'm telling you that the resolve that the players have, that he will lose money that he will not get back. I'm not saying you should feel sorry that he's losing that money. I'm using that as a point of emphasis that players are willing to hold the line and say, we'll take this loss because we don't want to sell the future players down the road. But no, you don't have to feel sorry for anybody. You don't have to feel sorry for anybody. Owners, players, whatever. I was making that point to say that Scherzer will miss 230 a day and Gerrit Cole will miss 190 a day. Now, whether you make $50,000 a year and you lose $1,000 a week, it's still $1,000 out of your 50. So if they, in fact, miss all of April, 30 days, and I'm not saying that's going to happen. Let me do some quick math here, Peter.
Do it.
I can't count or do math.
Yeah, Don can't.
Math is very, very important.
Here it is. Okay. So $230,000 times 30, he will $6.9 million.
Holy crap.
He'll never get that back. Ever get it back. Do I want you to feel sorry for him? No, I think he's going to be fine. You don't have to run his telethon for Scherzer. But if he's willing to do that when there are no further contracts in his future, that's pretty telling. But I think that Max, who's made over $250 million in his career, is able to do that. Will the guys that have not made that kind of money, will they be willing to do that? But the fact that he is willing to do that when he's got his bag and this is going to lessen his bag at the end of his career, I think is pretty telling. I don't know. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for him. Because as I've said from the beginning, I'm not taking sides in this. Let's go to the phones, see what you think. Let's go to Nick in Amityville to start it off. Nick.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey,
I just want to say I'm a fan. I'm not a crazy fan or whatever because I just get up too early in the morning. I can't watch all 162, but I enjoy the game and the intricacies. And for what I said to Andrew was the fact that the players are the ones that are going to be out in front and the casual fan that doesn't know the nuances and stuff like that are going to be – they're going to get booed. The owners aren't going to get booed because they're not visible. So that the owners really don't care because they don't get any of the vitriol. The only way that they'll feel anything is like people don't show up. And I got to be honest, I wouldn't go to a game in April anyway because it's just too cold. But I'll go to a couple games in May and June when the weather's nice. I mean, just to be outside and have a beer and a dog and watching a game, to me, is awesome. But I agree with what you said one other time. I go, there are 8 owners that just don't care. They don't want to play in April because they don't have the gate. And they don't really care. And if they have to discount money to the regional sports networks, then that's what they're going to do. But football has taken over. I mean, New York is still a baseball town, but there's only so few baseball towns left that I just don't think, you know, the real fans are going to go and all that stuff. And we'll eat whatever they give us. But for the most part, I just don't think people are at the mindset where, you know, they're going to take the owner's side because they don't see them. They're not visible.
I think the best thing that you said was the owners don't care about how – I really truly believe they don't care what people think of them. They care that people will come back. And I assure you that everything that has happened has been war-gamed out. Probably a poor phrase to use at this time of life, but let's say they've gamed it out. They've exactly seen the way it will play out. They've done surveys and stuff like that. And they probably figure – losing the games in April and not having to pay those salaries in April, and then the money that we won't get, it will all be it'll be a gain at the end. It'll be a gain at the end. But you know, does Steve Cohen care if I also, you know, it's like I said this over and over again. The big market owners, they're not the ones here. You think they want to have these guardrails on them? This is about the big market owners, and because there's more smaller market teams than there are big market teams, those are the guys that have the votes to stop any kind of ratification of a deal. You think that Steve Cohen wants to not play baseball in April? Really, do you think that? There's no way he does. So, I mean, Met fans shouldn't hate Steve Cohen. I don't think he's part and parcel to this. Now, he signed into a group. You know, he's part of a membership club of 30 people, and they've all decided this is what's going to happen. But remember, this is why I always say that Manfred is obviously painted as the villain because, you know, do you know who the San Diego Padres owner is?
Right.
So Manfred is the villain who has to somehow get these 30 disparate people with disparate agendas together, and if he doesn't have enough votes, there will not be a deal. Again, Henry, Steinbrenner, Cohen, and the people that run the Dodgers, the Guggenheim Group, you think they really care about a salary tax? It's about them. It's the Pirates not wanting them to be able to spend $350 million a year. That's what this is about. And those small market teams are holding the rest of the sport hostage. They don't want the haves to be more happy, if that makes sense, Peter.
They don't want the haves to be more happy. I don't know if that's how I'd ever heard it worded before, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I do. I say things the way you've never heard them before.
That's what makes you you're an artist with words.
Yeah, yeah, they're weapons.
But
and I use words as tools, but as weapons.
They're also like a palette of paint, and they decide what kind of picture that you end up with. Let's go to Andrew in the Bronx.
What?
Andrew.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, you?
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that Don is doing well. Can't wait to see him. Hopefully, he'll be back sooner than later.
Yes, absolutely.
Just calling. It's funny enough, I'm listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg this morning, and Rothenberg mentions that he got an email from the Mets talking about ticket packages. And I'm like, that is kind of tone deaf. Funny enough, I get out of work around like 2 o'clock, and I get a call asking about the same thing.
Really?
And now, like you said, you put it eloquently that this isn't Cohen's fault. It's the small market teams holding this entire thing hostage. But I'm like, you couldn't hold off for a little bit.
Did you tell the person who called you what you're telling us? Like you couldn't hold off. Did you articulate to that person?
Oh, yeah, I did. I said, look, me and my dad were considering packages, but there's a giant elephant in the room. This season may not start on time. You don't know how long we're going here.
What'd they say?
They said that they were aware, but that there was a strong possibility that games were going to be played. I'm like, I really can't take your word for that.
Wow, I feel sorry for that person, Andrew, because you know they're just doing what they're told. But that's a tough phone call to make. Unless you want to buy season tickets for a season that we're not sure how long it's going to be and when it's going to start.
Right, I don't even understand how that works.
What a mess! What a mess! Let's go to. Pete in Long Island. Pete.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey, how are you?
Long-time baseball fan, veteran of 3 fantasy camps at Yankee Camp. I'm sitting here watching and listening to you guys and feeling very, very upset that the fans and the people that work at these parks in spring training, at the home parks, the ushers, the vendors, for 3 years now are going to be hurt a lot. And I don't think the players today are, and the owners, that both 50-50 wrong. And it's very sad that this is, the newer fans don't care. They have other things to do now. The older fans, they're not around. 30 years since the strike. Mm-hmm. They're not coming back.
That's where I have to ask you, Pete. So you love baseball. If they cancel April, you're not coming back?
I would watch it on TV. I don't know if I'm going to spend that kind of money to travel from Long Island to the Bronx. There's a lot involved there.
I got
the trains, the parking. That's a lot of money to come out. And a lot of fans aren't going to have season tickets anymore. It feels, you know, like we're losing grip on a pastime.
Well, I certainly hear the anguish in your voice, but I'll tell you, let's say you make this. A couple of people on Twitter have told me this as well, Peter. I'm not coming back if they cancel games. And I'm not saying people are lying. That's probably how they feel right now. But let's say it's July. And DJ LeMahieu has a 39-game hitting streak going.
Okay.
And they're playing the Red Sox. You don't want to go to the game? You're going to spite yourself? You're going to send a message that you're not going to go? Who's that message being sent to?
Well, let's be real. If your team's playing well, you'll be fine.
Right.
You're not missing it. You're not going to say, hey, I don't feel like joining in. If your team's actually playing well, you're going to be fine.
And I think that's what they're banking on. And I think that, you know, the previous caller, you know, brought up a good point, though, Peter. The little people get hurt, too. We're just looking at owners and players. People that vend for a living, you know, they work the concession stands. That's important money for them. It really is. There's a lot of people involved that are going to lose money. They just are. But, you know, I'm not saying that the owners and the players are thinking about them or whether or not they're thinking about them. They're thinking about themselves right now. They're trying to solve this. And right now we're coming up on an hour to go, right? An hour and 15 minutes, something like an hour and 20 minutes. Again, I think that's just a very soft deadline. Because if they're close, then they'll just extend the deadline. But the thing that I didn't feel good about is the report that the owners came in, you know, more adamant today that, listen, we are going to cancel games. And the players feel like they're getting backed into a corner. And remember one thing. The players got to be one of the 700 players in the big leagues because of their ultra-competitive nature. Now, this isn't a field of sport, but it is some kind of a battle. And if you put competitive people into a corner, they're going to be competitive. So that's why I think the players will say, well, not signing what you want. And that's why I don't feel that heartened about this thing getting settled. Hope it does. We'll be back in just a moment here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Ken Rosenthal just tweeted out that all the agents of players were sent out a handbook before the lockout got into full bore, and, you know, it pre-answered questions that they might have. And one of them is, can my player play in a foreign country during the lockout? And the answer is yes. And I guess Bryce Harper of the Phillies saw this and tweeted out a photoshopped image of him in a Yomiuri Giants jersey and said, hey, you guys need, you know, an outfielder. I'm paraphrasing. So that will be interesting as well. Let's say that these great players go and play in Japan, although there's a limit to how many Americans could play on a Japanese team, but the great ones go, and then they suffer a substantial injury. That might void their contract if and when baseball comes back. So just another interesting wrinkle, Peter.
So many wrinkles, Michael.
Yeah, it's like one of those Sharpays.
I was going to say it's like a Sharpay. Wow,
look at us.
Good.
Thank you. Let's go to Butch in New Paltz. Butch.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Butch.
I just wanted to ring in here. I'm one of those longtime Yankee fans who is pretty much fed up and done with the game today. And this lockout nonsense is just sealing the deal. You know, I'm on a blog with some people, and they're hardcore Yankee fans. And the metrics and the fact that the Yankees, you know, what about Roy White? What about Willie Randolph? They didn't contribute to all the championship years. We love Paul O'Neill. We can't wait to honor him. But you can't forget the other guys. And with all the today's stuff with the Yankee team, with nobody coaching that you recognize, and it's just horrible. And they're just killing the game. And a lot of us old dudes feel that way. You know, I worked with some of the great people musicians who just love sports. And everybody's just feeling that the greed and the changing, the shifting command. It's not the game.
So let me ask you this, Butch. Yankees are 10 games up in August, and there's a big Yankee-Tampa Bay game on. Yes, you're not going to watch because you're fed up.
I'm fed up. But
I ask you a question. Will you watch the game on Yes?
Probably not.
I don't believe you,
nothing
Butch.
Else,
Butch, I don't believe you.
Well, right now, none of the guys on my blog believe me either. But let me tell you.
Because it's not true. If you love baseball as much as you say you do, why would you cut off your nose and spite your face? Well, why wouldn't you watch the game?
It's not baseball anymore.
Oh, come on.
Not baseball. You guys are wonderful announcers, but I can't understand half of the stuff you guys talking about. I don't know what WAR is. I don't know what all those other numbers mean. I know RBIs. My cousin and I used to fight over who had the most RBIs, who had the most home run. Duke Snyder, Willie Mays.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
But it's still there. Those numbers are still there. The game is still on the field. I mean, whether the nerds. Yeah, so what? So
please.
The game is – you don't think that they shifted on Ted Williams?
Well, all of a sudden the shift is the dynamic here. And, Goose Gossage is half a botch in his head, but he makes a lot of sense sometimes. It's just not the game I used to watch. And I feel like they don't care. We wait all winter.
Care.
We want to talk.
Who the people?
They don't care about us.
Well, first
they don't care. You say they care.
Well, I didn't know what you were saying. The analytic people don't care. Is that what you're saying, or the people negotiating this?
The people negotiating.
Well,
the
people negotiating this.
Guys.
But the bottom line is, this is their livelihood. This is the players' livelihood. This is the owners do this for a living. So, yeah, they've got to block out the fans and whatever. They got to get this thing done. There are other businesses in the world that have labor strife. Does that mean they don't care about their customers? They've got to get this settled before they move forward. Now, if you think one side is wrong, another side's wrong, that's fine. But should they just not even negotiate because they want to give the fans baseball? I know that sounds harsh, but that's not the way the world works. All right, you know what? We'll lose the money on this because, we want to be there for the fans. Now, in a perfect world, that would be the way it works, but this is a $10 billion industry. And until they learn how to split it up correctly, their concern is going to be how to split it up correctly and equitably and fairly.
I love baseball.
Your faith. I don't believe people that say that they will not watch the game anymore. Now, this guy had a different reason, Peter, more so than the labor strife. He doesn't like the way the game has evolved into a metric game.
Well, and
you go on the field, it's a game of baseball.
I agree. I heard some of the things he was saying. Like, I have complained to you, Michael, that I find it annoying that, like, people have found so many different metrics to talk about instead of the ones that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, I think, are stupid and over-talked about. Like, you will not convince me to care about exit velo. You just won't. And I understand that. But it's not a reason to say that the game's completely different. Like, fundamentally. And also, furthermore, what does that have to do with this strike? You're just now airing out your other grievances.
Yeah, he went all over. I mean, he mentioned Willie Randolph, who has a plaque in Monument Park. He doesn't have number 30 retired, but he and Mel Stoudemire have a plaque. Now, I would agree with him. The absence of any kind of honoring of Roy White has always struck me as curious. Roy White was a big part of the 77 and 78 championship teams. And he was one of the people, along with Thurman Munson and Bobby Mercer, who were there during the bad times and survived to enjoy the good times. That has always made me wonder, well, why not? Roy White, when he gets announced at Old Timers Day, gets a really big hand. That's the way I would judge things if I were the Yankees. Who's getting the biggest hand at Old Timers Day? That's the one that the fans like. So, but, I mean, he was all over. There's a lot of things that are bothering Butch. You know, okay. I'm glad that he can call our show to articulate it. Bill in New Jersey. Bill.
Mike.
Bill.
Mike.
Bill.
Mike, can you hear me?
Sure.
Not anymore. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Casey.
I hope they lose.
Hey, Case.
Hi, Mike.
What's up?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just funny hearing all these guys. It's usually the older guys saying they're so fed up they're never going to watch the game again. They're being emotional right now and butthurt. I guarantee you they turn on the TV for the first game. What are they going to do, go out in the garden rather than that? Or are they going to watch golf?
Yeah, it's funny, Casey. I understand both sides because there's so many more entertainment options than there were in 95 when the game came back from, you know, having the World Series canceled. But, you know, are people all of a sudden going to become MSL fans? Did I get those initials right, Andrew?
No.
MLS. Are they going to all of a sudden, like, lock into golf? Are they just going to eliminate sports from their lives?
Now, golf is
listen,
garbage.
People have every right to be angry. I'm not telling you to not be angry. I'm angry. But to say that's it, I'm never going to watch baseball again. All due respect.
Oh, you said all due
I
respect.
Don't agree. I don't believe you. So let's say opening day is April 15th, which would be a perfect day, Peter, for opening day. Because I believe it's the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, which is, I think, one of the most important dates in American history, not just in baseball. If you came back on April 15th on Jackie Robinson, how perfect that would be. All right, so they missed 2 weeks of games because they're battling over, you know, splitting up $10 billion. And you don't have tickets to the game, but Yankees against whom? I got the schedule.
You got one. All right, here we go.
April 15th.
Get specific.
Would be Yankees against the Orioles in Baltimore.
Beautiful.
All right, Yankees-Orioles live from Camden Yards. Michael Kay, along with David Cone and Paul O'Neill. You're not turning the game on? To what end? Who's that benefiting? Who are you spiting? Other than yourself. If you love baseball, why, in fact, would you not watch that game? Is it going to affect it in some way? Are people going to have their nose out of joint? Yes, and they should. I'm not saying they shouldn't.
Right.
But to say, I'm never going to watch the game again, I think that's emotion, which I'm not going to deny that you have the right to feel that emotion. But I think at some point, if you really love baseball, I think the peripheral fans that, you know, watch it every now and then, Peter, they might be in danger of being lost. But the real baseball fan like Butch, you call back in August and tell me if you're not engaged. That you're just sipping, you know, an Arnold Palmer on the back porch and not even listening to the game.
Right.
I don't believe that's going to happen, Peter.
And what effect is that having once the game is back? You're holding on to you were mad about something. I mean, honestly, that Michael net, they ended up not even missing that many games?
Right.
Like, does it really affect you that you missed preseason? Come on.
God. If they miss all of April, that is missing about 28 games. That's significant.
Oh, no, that's significant, but significant enough to never watch again?
Again, I will tell you this. Baseball came back, and they canceled the most significant event in the sport, the World Series. They didn't crown a champion in 94, and people came back. Again, I don't want to sound, you know, so matter-of-fact, but that's the truth, Ruth. I mean, that's just it. 1-800-919-3776. Talk some basketball when we get back. Interesting weekend for the Nets and the Knicks. It's Kay, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. Bill in New Jersey. Bill.
Mike.
Bill.
Mike.
Bill.
Mike, can you hear me?
Sure.
Not anymore.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Both sides arrived at about 10 a.m. to go inside for bargaining. They caucused within their own group for about an hour. Then we saw the lead negotiator from the league walk over, along with a couple of his lieutenants, to talk with the players. What we haven't seen is real progress towards a deal. It would really be a Hail Mary catch if they were able to get anywhere far today on so many issues.
It's distressing. And, you know, I felt it for the first time on Saturday, Peter, because Saturday was going to be the first broadcast on Yes. I was going to be down in Tampa. We were going to do that game, and it was not there. This is at a critical juncture right now. The thing that I would tell both sides, it's such a bad optic.
The Michael Kay Show.
They better acknowledge the fans. They're the ones that, you know, pay those exorbitant prices to get in and watch these guys.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. talking a lot of the baseball negotiations, which this is deadline day, February 28th. Before we move on, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We've got the Raptors against the Nets in Brooklyn. That's a 7:30 start. Coverage starts at 7 on YES. 7:30 is the game. And then we have Vancouver at New Jersey to play the Devils. That's a 7:30 start as well. Knicks, Islanders, and Rangers are off today. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Time for talk some hoops. This 98.7 ESPN Hoops update brought to you by Corona. Live in the moment. Live la vida más fina with an ice-cold Corona. For 21+, relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. All right. What a fantastic game for the Nets in Milwaukee, Peter. Don't know how much of that you saw.
I saw the fourth quarter.
But I know there's a lot when you sign on for Kyrie, a lot. But boy, can he play. Boy, is he magnificent. He makes great players look ordinary. He does things with the basketball that just aren't done by mortals. They just aren't. He is that good. The moves he makes, the ability to get off shots in the paint with bigger men. I mean, he's not a really tall guy. He's like 6'1".
Yep.
And to get a shot, a teardrop shot over Antetokounmpo. And they were magnificent. Again, no Durant, no Simmons. And they were just, they played a really strong game. And they had a lot of energy. And, you know, the other players that they got in that deal are significant. Drummond can play. Curry can play. And we know that Kyrie Irving can play. So does that make them go off on a run? But that was an important game, Peter, because one of the teams they're chasing right now is Toronto, and they play Toronto a home-and-home starting tonight. And you didn't want to go into that, you know, continuing to spiral. And to get an unforeseen win against Milwaukee, that's pretty special. That is pretty special. That was a nice game. And at some point this week, you're supposed to get back Kyrie Irving. There's still a lot of doubt about when Simmons is going to come back. So, you know, everybody thought it could be this week when Kevin Durant got back, but that's not the case. And we're still waiting whether or not Kyrie's going to be able to play. And Eric Adams said some things today that somewhat unusual, Peter. I don't know if you saw much of it, but
yeah,
over the weekend he lifted the vaccine requirements as of March 7th for indoor dining, fitness, and entertainment venues. But that doesn't include Kyrie. So that means that Kyrie can go watch a Nets game at Barclays Center, but can't play in one. So now he's allowed to get into that venue, an entertainment venue, a sporting venue, without being vaccinated, but for some cockamamie reason, which is not being able to be explained, he can't play in that game. Explain that to me, Peter. You're brighter than I am.
I couldn't possibly do that. I know I read this morning, he just doesn't believe in having a double standard or special exceptions for Kyrie. I think he's being mindful about not being crushed for trying to help out celebrity or powerful people, but no, it's crazy town. But one little thing, Michael, to add on the end of that Nets-Bucks game was the monster block from Drummond, too.
Yep.
So, I mean, their players that they just picked up are already having an impact on this team.
Yeah, they can play. Those two guys can play. Now, obviously, whether or not the Nets are going to make a significant run is going to depend a lot on Simmons. Although you could see a team with those other guys that they have, and Durant back healthy and Kyrie playing every day, that they would have a chance as well, because I was at the Garden last night or yesterday afternoon, and the Sixers are a significant team now with James Harden engaged and willing to play. It's amazing. I mean, there must be some training staff in Philadelphia for him to just completely get over the hamstring injury that bothered him for a month with the Nets. But when you take aside all the nonsense, like we said with Kyrie too, Peter, boy, can Harden play. Boy, is he special.
He was apparently ready to come back.
Yeah, apparently. The Knicks don't look good. R.J. Barrett looks great.
Well, I was going to say, the R.J. was almost, Michael, he was almost so great on Friday that if you're a Knicks fan, you go, okay, I'm ready to give up on 2021, but I actually may believe that by the end of this year, we have a guy. He's on that. This year is feeling like that could be the trajectory for him, where by the end you go, okay, we really have a guy.
Now, let's hope that's the case. There are parts of it that are somewhat concerning. He is not, you know, last year he took a giant step forward when it came to hitting free throws. I think he was at 76%. Now, you want to be at 80, especially a guy like him who's going to get to the basket a lot. But now he's down in the 60s. And, you know, he missed the day he scored 46 points, missed 8 free throws.
Yep, that could have been a 54-point night. Easy.
Right. And he just can't do that. And even he said he's disgusted with himself. And he said, you know, he just hit 200 straight in practice. So it's obviously something else. It's not physical. But, wow, that's distressing. And yesterday against the Sixers, he scored 24 points, but he was 6 for 10 from the free throw line. That's 60%. And the Knicks as a team, I think, were at 63%. So what should have been a close game down the stretch, it couldn't be a close game because they're not – I explained to Charlie, free throws. They're free. Nobody's defending you. And you got to be able to hit them. And the Knicks as a team have taken a step back on hitting free throws. So he had 24 yesterday, 46 in his previous game. So that's 70 over two games, which is a 35-point average. And he could be special. But he's got to hit free throws. A guy who slashes to the basket is going to get fouled a lot, has to be able to hit free throws. Now, with the Sixers, that's also a team, Peter. They're going to have the longest games in basketball because they're going to get fouled constantly. And you know what? Harden and Embiid can hit free throws.
Exactly. And so you just think about how different a season R.J. Barrett would be having statistically if he's hitting all of his free throws. I mean, if he could just get his percentage up to, like you said, Michael, 80, then instead of averaging 18 points a game, he's probably averaging 23 points a game. It's a different level player. It's a great point.
Now, let's bring in Andrew. I'm sure you were locked into that game. So what do you think? Do you think that it's amazing how they've meshed so beautifully so early, but it looks like it's a pretty good fit, Harden and Embiid.
Yes, it does. And that was always one thing that I thought was strange, that people were saying, I don't know, I don't think this will work. I mean, James Harden has played in a lot of different styles of offense. In Oklahoma City, he was a sixth man off the bench. In Houston, he was with D'Antoni. Brooklyn was completely different. And he's been an MVP candidate, with the exception of Oklahoma City, where he was sixth man of the year. He's been an MVP candidate in every style. Like, why would it suddenly not work here in Philly? So, yeah, maybe I was a little surprised to see it this good this fast, but I was not surprised at all to see it work. And it's just, I mean, look, Net fans, Knicks fans won't love this, but to see James Harden doing James Harden things for your team it's fun. The step back three, you know, against Minnesota the other night, two step back three and ones. It's like, wow, this is the real deal. This guy at his best.
You know what this sounds like, Michael?
What's that?
I'm on board.
It sounds like full bloom.
Full bloom. Well, why shouldn't it be? This would be this is maybe as good as the Sixers have been, I don't know, in 20 years, 30 years, possibly. Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes. But this would be a weird time for me to not be in full bloom. It's fun.
We're all grown up now.
You know, you deserve it. You should be there. You added one of the best players in the game to an already stacked team. God bless you, sir. God bless
you. Yeah, I wonder how he's going to feel when, you know, Harden pulls that on the Sixers, if he's going to feel good about that. Because, I mean, look, you know, Harden pulls it everywhere.
Maybe that will happen. I don't know. But, like, again, what I just said, like, as a fan of this team, that would be a weird thing for me to be bogged down in now. Like, if you can't be excited and enjoying this now, then, like, why even be a fan?
He's right. I mean, Michael, what do you think? So right now, Andrew, when we ask him, he should go, you know, I don't know. I think he's going to leave us anyway. I mean, that would be a really half-empty way of approaching this.
Oh, okay, if there's a celebrity out there that you like, a celebrity woman or man, okay, and their history shows that they will leave whoever they're with. So you get your turn, and there's not going to be something in the back of your mind that's going to be worried about how it's going to end, or you're just going to enjoy the ride?
If you're in love, you're in love. You're gonna really hope this works out great.
I feel like I'm sitting next to Mahatma Gandhi right now.
It's really not. It's actually not even that. You don't think Andrew would sound crazy if you said, "Hey, are you excited? I know Harden played great over the weekend." And Andrew's response was simply, "I don't know."
Somewhere between indifferent and good.
Yeah, I think he's going to leave us one day, so I can't enjoy it. That would be a weird approach.
It would be, but I hope that it's in the back of his mind because it's going to happen.
All right, Andrew. Andrew, can you keep that in the back of your mind?
Yes, I will allow it to sour the remainder of the season for
myself. You know what? You know what got me yesterday, though, guys?
What's that?
So I'm sitting there in the garden with my family watching the game.
Beautiful.
And Embiid is at the free throw line shooting a free throw. And the crowd starts chanting MVP loud at the garden. Then in the fourth quarter with about 20 seconds left, Harden pulls down a rebound. And with that rebound, it was 10 rebounds. He got a triple-double. Crowd goes nuts. Now, did Nick fans with season tickets, well, let's defray some of the cost and sell it to these lunatic Sixer fans? Or are the Knicks just bailing on their team? Knicks fans bailing on their team? What is that? I couldn't believe it. It was a pro-Philly crowd on a Sunday afternoon.
That's not what you want to see.
And there are a lot of Philly jerseys in that in the stands, Andrew. A lot. A lot. I was surprised you weren't there.
I mean, it's a fan base that cares a ton. The team is really good. I think they set their – it was one of their – Friday night in James Harden's first game. It's one of the highest TV ratings I think they've ever had for a regular season game.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you get a weekend game, national TV, that's like an hour drive, hour and a half drive. I saw it too, obviously. You couldn't miss it. And I wasn't shocked. Wasn't shocked by it.
So I was looking at the you know, we did something with Peter on Friday about the top-rated – regional sports networks in terms of basketball.
I was brilliant in that.
You were. I mean, it was one of the best things you've ever done. And then I looked at the entire list today. And the Knicks, I think, are like maybe 20th or something like that with a 1.4 rating. And then you look all the way at the bottom. The Nets, right? I think third from the bottom, a 0.7. The Knicks double their rating. Even with the injuries, the Nets are a much better team than the Knicks. It's unbelievable to me. And you can't say, well, you know, it's a shoddy broadcast. It's not a shoddy broadcast. It's a great broadcast. Always wins the Emmy. Iron Eagle is considered, you know, elite. I don't get it. So, I mean, the Nets are gaining no traction here.
They just don't have a real base.
But, I mean, they've always been in the area, Peter. It's not like they moved from Colorado. They were in Jersey.
I know.
Why aren't the ratings? People in Jersey could still watch the Nets,
right? It's a fair point. Why would it be so low?
Really weird.
I mean, listen, if they win a championship this year, Michael, I'm sure it'll change them. I mean, teams need championships, honestly. It is very hard to have none.
Well, the Knicks haven't had one since 73. They're doubling the rating of the Nets.
I'm telling you, even 73. It keeps people around.
But at least there were 2 years in Jersey when they went to the finals with Jason Kidd.
That's right.
It's amazing. I have no traction whatsoever. It's just amazing. And it's not like Yes is some mysterious channel that you can't find. The Yankees are top rated. I keep telling you that during last summer, we were the top rated show in New York on many nights against NBC. So it's not like find Yes.
What's a good number for a Yankee game?
Like a 3-5 or 4, something like that.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
And they're doing a 0.7 for a bet for the Nets?
Yeah.
To watch. Well, I wonder how different it would have been, though, if they had everyone playing every night and not this carousel.
Yeah, it's interesting. We don't have the answer to that. Now, Woj was talking about Durant coming back, but then he was somewhat unclear about Simmons. So here's Woj on SportsCenter.
Ben Simmons has yet to really, you know, started to go full throttle with the Nets on the floor. It's been more individual work. You know, that's going to increase, I think, through the end of this week into next week. Now, you know, we're 11 days essentially from that Nets meeting with Philadelphia, March 10th, everyone's talking about. One thing I'm confident with, that won't be his first game. They're not going to allow Ben Simmons to make his debut there. But Kevin Durant, his return is imminent. Now, Steve Nash said yesterday he thought it was unlikely it would be Monday or Tuesday in that back-to-back with Toronto. But look at Thursday, potentially, against Miami. If he doesn't play early in the week, you know, essentially the Nets are waiting for Kevin Durant to say, hey, I'm ready. He's looked terrific in practice. And listen, it's not a moment too soon to get back a player who may have been the league's MVP when he went out with that knee injury.
Now let's go to the phones. Let's go to Eldrick in the Bronx. Eldrick.
Oh, it's hey, Mike. Hey, Peter. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm doing good. And it's LJ, by the way. Sorry about that.
No worries.
I just want to bring up two things about the Nets real quick, if that's okay.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. So, you know, Saturday was an amazing win.
Yep.
It was definitely, I would say, the biggest win of the season. You know, Kyrie was playing.
Oh, no. So, Peter, what his name was Eldred, not Eldrick. Is that what he's saying?
Was it LJ?
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN.
So what was it? What was it, Andrew?
Oh,
what do you
think? It's Bennett.
I mean, obviously, I was wrong. I put Eldrick up there. I asked him twice. I thought it was LJ the first time. So I said, did you say LJ? He said, no, whatever it was he said. And I said, oh, Eldrick? He said, yeah. So I went with that. I don't know.
You thought it was Tiger.
I have no idea what his name was. Even after rehearing him say it a third time just now, I'm even more confused.
So you dropped the ball on this is what you're saying.
I think he did. Well, I asked him twice.
When you're unsure, can't you say spell it for me?
Sometimes, but I didn't have the energy for this one. I tried twice. I thought I had it. I moved on.
You know what? I had no problem with what you did.
Thanks.
Really?
No.
Because I'm the one who's hung out to dry saying the guy's name wrong. Me.
Oh, yeah, you look terrible. No one listening even knows what he just said. You're fine.
Yeah, it's a great point. He corrected it. I still have no clue what he said.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And I wanted to know what he was going to say.
Yeah,
one of the biggest wins of the year. Okay. And?
Right. And then it went boonk. What makes the phone do that?
What makes a phone go boonk?
Yeah, that. What is it? What is that, Andrew? By the way, great haircut, Andrew. It's about time.
Yeah, thank you.
How much hair was on the floor?
Oh, my God. Maybe my second most significant haircut of all time. The only other one being the pandemic haircut, which was the longest my hair had ever been, like most people.
Well, hold on. This is big news. We should open the show with this.
Yeah.
The most significant haircut of all time?
I don't remember my hair being much longer. Maybe only once or twice ever was it longer than what it just was.
Well,
and
I like
got it
this
cut
haircut
pretty short.
Because usually when you get it cut short, it looks really short. This, it still looks like you have a significant amount of hair. The way your hair looks, it almost looks like a little hair helmet. If you just had a face guard, it would look like a hair helmet.
Well, what was going on here, Andrew? Why?
Why what?
Why this? Why the hair?
What do you mean?
Why was it so long?
I don't know. I went a while without getting one. I was supposed to get a haircut a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago. I had to cancel that and then just got back to it this weekend. Is this interesting to people? I don't know.
I think people are fascinated by you. Yeah, by the way, we all saw Don today on the Zoom call. He's really given up. Like, he usually trims the goatee. Now it's a full-blown Santa Claus beard right down to his chest.
Is it real?
Oh, yeah, he's given up. He might not have the strength right now.
It's dangling. Well, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, I see Andrew's cut now, though. It's back. You're right. He
looks
great. Right.
Looks terrific, yeah.
This is what it's supposed to be like. He looks like Lego Man again.
Yes.
For a while, he wasn't looking like the Lego Man. He's back to being
Lego
the white
man.
Lego Man.
Lego. I'm not even trying to compete with that Lego.
Most of the Lego Men are white, right? I mean, there are some.
No, they eventually had
Lego Men of color.
Yeah, they eventually got diverse with Legos, but at first, everyone was just basically bright yellow with dark hair. And that is Andrew. He is the Lego Man.
Well, let's think about that and towel off. We'll come back with more of your phone calls, baseball, basketball. It's all on the docket. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay Rosenberg, Andrew's haircut, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, one of my pet peeves, Peter, let's let it all out in the open.
Okay.
When people say, "Well, I give 110% out there," well, it's impossible. You can't give 110%. No. 100% is all you could give.
This is the number one most literal man take in your arsenal.
I'm just saying, when players go, he's giving 110% out there. Impossible. You can't. You can only give 100%. That's the top level of what you could give.
Look up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
And Captain Literal Man.
Underrated drop, by the way, the Captain Literal Man drop. It's it's underrated. I like that it makes you a superhero. You come flying in to be Captain Literal. You don't think it's possible that sometimes someone gives maximum effort that they think they have, but then another time they give maximum effort and they actually got to a better effort?
Well, then the mistake would be that the last time they thought they gave maximum effort. Because the most effort you could give is 100%. That's the top number, Peter. Top effort is 100%, not 110. 110 is a fakakta number. You cannot give 110%. Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Let's go to Matt in Tom's River. Matty.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
All good. How about you?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm glad to hear Dom's getting better. Can't wait to have him back on the air.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I got a little bit of a story for you. Not so much sports related, but definitely we'll feed the K ego here.
Oh, I love that. Please, go on.
Yes, sir. I figured you would. I'm a little bit of what you call, you know, a little Michael K. Show junkie, and I kind of, you know, kind of jones in by Sunday when I don't have anything to listen to live.
We love you, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a, you know, junkie monkey, as I like to call myself, and I kind of go around saying some things that, you know, that I hear on the show. And trying to get a table yesterday morning at breakfast, and, you know, this gentleman at this, you know, fine new restaurant down the Jersey Shore wasn't giving us a table. We were double, you know, past our wait time. Told us a half hour, it was already an hour. And then I saw him about to see the table of people that came in after us because that table was built for their size party, even though we were one shorter than their party. So, you know, I expressed my displeasure with that, and he goes, "Yeah, well, that's just the way the tables are set up. I'm sorry." I said, "Sorry doesn't fix the lamp, buddy."
Oh, wow. There you go.
You know what? I'm quoting you, okay? I was quoting you, Michael. And he looked right at me and said, "You're right, sir. We'll seat you in 1 minute." And then we sat down, and we ate thanks to you, okay? I appreciate it, man.
You know, Matt, sorry doesn't fix the lamp.
Here, Matt, don't thank me. Thank my late dad. It was his line. Sorry doesn't fix the lamp.
Okay, then.
Well, you know what? I'm just bursting with pride right now. I really am, Peter. Bursting with pride.
You should be.
Why shouldn't I be? Why shouldn't I be?
You've done something. You've affected the culture. Moved it forward. Good
job. That's all I want.
I know. You're a conduit for change.
A conduit, not a conduit.
On TV.
I'm a conduit.
You're a conduit for change.
All right, let's go. Hey, you know, he called back. Eldrick or LJ?
Oh.
LJ, Eldrick, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's LJ, Michael.
LJ.
Because we care, LJ. This is what you said.
Thank you so much.
This is what you said when you were on previously. Ready? Here we go. Let's go to Eldrick in the Bronx. Eldrick.
It's LJ, by the way.
It sounds like you
like
said
Eldrick again. LJ. Yeah. You know what? Andrew is going to be suspended for a week because he got it wrong. I just want you to know that.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
What's up?
But thank you again.
You got it.
All right. So, yeah, I was just talking about with the Nets about their win on Saturday against the Bucks. Like I said, it was definitely their biggest win of the season. You know, Kyrie was playing out of his mind. You know, James Johnson and Andre Drummond with huge blocks right there at the end. And Bruce Brown hit a big three right there. You know, Steve Nash had a lot of energy, which was great right there. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what this team does, you know, going forward. You know, it's going to be interesting to see when Kyrie gets back on the court and when Simmons eventually gets on the court. I know KD will be back on the court sometime this week. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm more, you know, excited right here. And I truly believe this. I truly believe my Brooklyn Nets will go on a huge run right here, and they will win the NBA championship.
But that's only if you get back Simmons, right? Or do you think even without Simmons?
If we get back Simmons, yeah.
Okay, I agree with you.
I think, you know, with Simmons, yeah.
Yeah, LJ, I agree with you totally. I said it last week. That 1-15, it's the best team. And it's the people that are going to come off the bench that are really, really important. I mean, that center position is really impressive now. They've got
loaded.
So many tools, Peter. They really do.
Yep.
It's unreal. I mean, like their chances.
To the point where Claxton can't get a minute.
It's amazing. It's,
they are stacked.
Let's go to Elijah in Newark. Elijah.
Yeah, how you doing, Michael K., Peter?
Yo, how you doing?
I wanted to comment. I'm good, man. I'm good. Just out here working. I like to actually comment on you guys actually made me a fan of ESPN Radio. My brother, we both housing inspectors. We do a lot of time in the car. I wasn't a fan of radio. I used to listen to music all day, but I checked it out one day. I heard you on Peter. I've been a fan of Peter from High 97, so it kind of just clicked. I love what you guys do.
Thanks, man. That's really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, but as far as the Nets interviewership, like I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I've been New Jersey all my life. Was a big New Jersey Nets fan. I think it's more related to Jersey doesn't feel like we get enough respect, and then we don't feel like we have anything of our own. Even with football, with like the Giants and the Jets, they're New York, they're quote unquote New York teams, but they all play here. Even you, Peter, you know you do a lot of concerts and stuff. Y 97. You guys come and you perform here. And you guys say, "Oh, hey, New York. This is not New York. It's Jersey." And, you know, a lot of those players, they live over here. Jersey has a lot of great homes. There's a lot of great things about Jersey, but we don't get enough respect. So I kind of feel like that's what it is. A lot of Jersey guys blame Jay-Z for taking the team away and the ownership, and that's really what it is. The only reason we kind of still attached to it now is because Kyrie is a local guy and we want to see him win.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Because I understand it. I guess my logic is, like, I always think of it as we're all kind of part of the same area. And being from Northern Jersey, saying you're kind of from New York to me, I'm always fine with. I know some people get bent out of shape and say, no, you're from Jersey. But I see what you're saying, that to go all the way from Jersey, the Meadowlands, to Brooklyn feels like a loss because it was one thing that you guys actually had.
Right, absolutely. And I understand what you're saying, Peter, but no, we hate that. We do want to be considered our own thing because we are. We have a different swagger. We have a different everything. We talk differently. This isn't New York. It's Jersey, and it has to be some distinction.
But here's the question I would ask you, Elijah. I'll let you get your other point in. But there's no other basketball team to root for, so you guys just don't root for basketball anymore because the Nets moved?
No.
I mean, the Nets were originally from New York.
No, we do. We do root for basketball, but a lot of times after the Nets leave, you kind of seen a lot of, like, especially younger guys. Like, I'm young. I only was born in 94, so I watched the Nets because of my dad and a few other people, but a lot of us attached to other players. I had the beauty. I'm a big East guy, so I went to Seton Hall. I'm a big Seton Hall fan, so a lot of time we attached to a lot of college players who went other places. A big Heat fan because of Dwayne Wade. I was a big Marquette fan because of the Big East. So things of that sort, but just not totally having our own thing, that, like, especially when that was taken away from us, it was a big heartbreak.
Okay, cool. What was your other point, Elijah?
And then about the Nets, I do think the Nets will be fine as long as Ben Simmons gets healthy and he becomes – as long as the team stays healthy, I think they will be fine because he does have that ability to defend. And I don't see them running into Philly as being their biggest problem. And they even solved the problems with the big man before. I put giving away Jared Allen last year was a big mistake. I know they got some pieces back, but I don't see any of the pieces actually being much worthwhile. Jared Allen, look at him right now in Cleveland. He's flourishing.
Yep.
But as far as them being healthy, as long as they could be healthy, I do see them being fine because Ben Simmons' problem before was he was that 1-2 option. When Embiid was there one, when Embiid's there two, you need your second option to be able to be more than one-dimensional on the offensive side of the floor. And because you have Kyrie and KD who are offensive studs, you don't exactly need that. And they have the supplemental shooting. So do you really need Ben Simmons to go out there and chuck 5 threes a game? No. He goes to the hole, he defends. That's really all you need for him. For them to be successful.
I agree with you. And Elijah, call back whenever you want. You're a great caller.
Thank you.
You be well.
We agree. I mean, that's the beauty of the Ben Simmons deal. This could be a better team as a result because you could get so much from Simmons, and he does not have to be the guy with his ball in his hands at the end of the game. Michael, after KD and Kyrie, you could have Seth Curry shooting a ball. You could have, if Joe Harris is back, Joe Harris. You don't need to rely on that from Ben. What you need to get from him, and hopefully he learns from Kyle Korver, is the ability to at least get a better free throw percentage so people don't play hack a Ben because you want him to be in the game for defense. But, of course, you can also play offense-defense late as well.
God, I hope that Ben is back for that game against the Sixers, just for the theater of it, but I don't know.
Beautiful.
I don't know if he will. Now, here's a better question, and we'll go to break with this. if Simmons doesn't come back, and there's no guarantee when he's coming back, and he might come back where they don't have enough time to make him right, can the Nets win with Durant and Kyrie playing full time? Can they do it? Now, it's not a big three, but boy, it's two people that are two of the best at what they've done ever. So that's the question. Could they do it then with those two? Kay Rosenberg and you, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
If we suddenly, jarringly change this show,
what?
It would be nuts, right?
Huh?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we're one of the most. We are the most popular. Afternoon drive show in the city.
Some would say in the country.
Well, we're the best in the country, but it's hard to, like, quantify. But the last two books would tell us we are the best in the city. But
print that!
And if we change something jarringly, it would be, what are they doing? That, like, if we brought in, you know, like, Bobo the Juggling Clown.
Jabroni right. Pumpleduck.
We're gonna, juggler would really play on radio anyway.
Right. And why? And you're saying why tinker with something
that's really, really good?
That's obviously great, right?
Well, I say that to set this up. So, I'm at the Garden yesterday.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough to get tickets from our sales department in the ESPN suite.
Okay.
Peter, getting emotional even thinking about it. They have
don't say it.
Dramatically changed the chicken fingers.
Whoa.
At the Garden.
Hold on. What?
Yeah, what is right? First of all, they're like chicken cutlets. They're humongous. They're not fingers. And they changed the taste. Why? Now, I'm not saying that the taste is bad, but you had it, baby. You had it right there. It was perfect. And they've changed it. And I want to know why.
What
genius in the kitchen at the Garden said, you know what, this is really good. Let's try to make it better. Well, you did make it better. You made it different.
No longer weep worthy?
No.
Oh.
It gets you choked up, but you're not crying. There's not a tear coming down my face.
What can you describe the difference?
It doesn't have that same kick to it. It had a little bit of a spice to it. And it used to be a manageable finger. Now it's the size of a foot. It's like a chicken cutlet.
No.
And it's too thick. And since it's thick, it's hard to stay hot throughout, if you know what I mean.
This is really upsetting.
I've gone back into the world now. Been to the Garden twice in the last couple of days.
Right.
I'm throwing caution to the wind, and then one of my favorite things in the world has been changed for no gosh darn reason. I don't get it. I don't approve of it, and I want answers. I know they monitor every word we say at the Garden. Somebody with an answer, tell me why you changed the chicken fingers. That's all I want to know.
And by the way, you have the right to know.
Why? Because I used to sell those chicken fingers like I got a profit from them. That's how much I love them.
What did you say when you saw this happen?
I didn't say a word. Who am I going to complain to?
Your wife?
Well, she didn't make them. I'll tell you what, one of the few things in life that Caledonia eats is chicken fingers.
I don't like it.
Gave her a plate. She took a bite. She goes, not for me. That was it.
Really?
Yep. Now, I know the weep-worthy ones, she would have devoured.
That's what makes it wrong.
Yeah. You robbed a 9-year-old innocent child of the joy that I used to feel.
Of weeping.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry that you went through this.
You? How about me?
Yeah, the whole thing. Your family. I feel bad for you and your family that you didn't get to have the chicken fingers you wanted while you were in the suite for free watching the game.
Oh, so you're going to turn it there. You're going to turn it there, you animal.
Eating for free. I'm sad that you didn't get to enjoy the chicken fingers you wanted.
As I said, they're not bad. They're not what they were.
Right. Right.
So you're going to spin it to make me look bad, right?
Did I spin anything?
Yeah, you did. Oh, so the sweet, what you got for free, and the food, what you got for free, you didn't like. So I know what you're doing.
I'm not
clown shoe here. I know what you're doing.
I'm simply pointing out how the event played out. That's all.
I know what you did.
I passed zero judgment. I might have complained about the same thing.
Let's go back to the phones.
Shall we?
I'm trying to open up to you, you know, because I think our friendship is really growing.
I think
so,
too.
You do something like this.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything. You're right. I support you.
Jorge in California. Jorge.
Hey, guys. Thanks
How
for
you
having
doing?
Me on.
Yeah.
Good,
Thanks
good.
Thanks for calling.
So I just want to talk about Kyrie's situation because it's really getting annoying with all the mandates. Now, I'm somebody who's fully vaccinated, so I like the rules, but when you allow other players to come in and play unvaccinated, the rule becomes idiotic. The Nets have to put some pressure on Adam Silver. Is now allowing the team, I believe, to get fined.
Right.
So we should be able to play Kyrie and take the fine. Now, if the Nets don't do nothing, honestly, us Nets fans need to go up to Fifth Avenue and start protesting. I can't do that from California. If I was in New York, I would. But we really have to put some pressure on Adam Silver because the rule is so dumb right now.
Well, there's a couple things here.
If it makes sense for health-wise, I would understand it, but it doesn't, Michael.
No, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, Peter and I are very pro-vaccination, and we've been saying this for a couple of weeks. It makes no sense that a visiting party, before they even lifted the mandates, which will be lifted on March 7th, it has not made sense by allowing another player who's not vaccinated to come in because he's an independent, out-of-town vendor. It makes no sense. So I don't understand it. Now, you're saying they should protest at Fifth Avenue, the NBA offices. We just told you the net ratings on Yes. What are they going to, 8 people outside?
Right.
And supposedly Eric Adams, the mayor, said that he has spoken with Joe Tsai, the owner, about the issue. And here's what Adams said. Listen, I want Kyrie on the court. I would do anything to get that ring. Please, mayor. Yeah, so well, badly I want it. But there's so much at stake here, and I spoke with the owner of the team. We want to find a way to get Kyrie on the court, but this is a bigger issue. I can't have my city closed down again. It would send the wrong message just to have an exception for one player when we're telling countless number of New York City employees, if you don't follow the rules, you won't be able to be employed. But you've admitted in your earlier statement that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's dumb. It doesn't make sense. Your quote was, quote, it makes no sense. So Kyrie Irving can come to the game, sit amongst the fans, maybe get them sick, but he can't play. But an opposing player who comes in, who's unvaccinated, can in fact play. I mean, what's fair is fair here. I mean, don't you have to do logical things? This is not logical. This is illogical in every stretch of the imagination. Listen, I'm no fan of Kyrie not getting the vaccination. I'm not. His personal choice, though. He could have done it for his teammates. He didn't want to. And if he doesn't play, it's on him more than anybody else. But what fair is fair, Peter. A visiting player unvaccinated could play. Kyrie could enter the building. He could practice with the team. But once the game starts, well, that's when it kicks in. It doesn't make sense. What kind of bad message are you sending to people? You're sending out that your government doesn't do things that are rational, and it doesn't make sense.
It's hard to make sense of. I hear you. I also know that he's in a tough spot right now, but he may have given too much information there in terms of what his personal feelings are. Because now you're right, Michael. I mean, the whole thing does not add up.
A lot of this stuff throughout the pandemic doesn't add up. You go into a restaurant, you must be wearing a mask. But when you sit down to eat, you could take it off. So the virus only is like up 5'6" up. But once you sit down, the virus can't get you. I mean, none of it makes sense. Shouldn't there be rational thought in this?
Yeah, well, but I think, it's for example, I think the thing about wearing the mask in the restaurant when you're not seated does make sense.
Why? The people that are seated are spreading germs too.
Correct. But it's not about safety for me. It's about connoting what the effort is supposed to be.
So you're actually doing message sending here?
Somewhat. Yeah, when I'm not eating and I'm walking through the restaurant, walking by other people I don't know, I am actively saying I care about your well-being. When I sit down at my table to eat my meal and talk to my people, then I will take my mask up. Like, I know it's silly, but I do think it's important that people send a message of wanting to care about other people's well-being.
Well, I mean, we've gotten that message loud and clear. A lot of people don't care.
That is true. But would you feel better, though? So you're saying as a result, you would rather have it just be consistent, and when you get to the restaurant, you don't have to wear a mask at all?
Right. Because, again, the person that you're trying to protect is at the table right next to you. So once you take your mask off when you sit down, you're spreading it to them if you have it anyway. And everybody that's standing up waiting for their table, they're going to eventually sit down. And we don't know how far the virus could travel. I'm just asking for consistency and common sense. So to not let Kyrie Irving play does not make common sense when you're letting visiting players play. So their form of the virus, since it might be from California, that's okay. But Kyrie's from New York, that's not okay. Sometimes you have to have common sense come into play. That's just asinine. And when the mayor said it doesn't make sense, then make it make sense. You're the mayor. We got to get Eric Adams on the show.
Let's work on that.
Let's do that, because it doesn't make any sense. All right, we're coming up on the deadline for the baseball negotiations. We might get Jeff Passan on in just a moment. Not sure if there's breaking news. He's not going to be able to join us. Hopefully, we'll get him in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.